Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll find that on page number 961 of the Black Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, page number 961 in the Black Pew Bible. One announcement and then some family news to pass along to you. The announcement has to do with the Cuba trip in January or February. There are several of you who have mentioned an interest in the Cuba trip. And I know it's hard to think about going to Cuba when it's 88 degrees outside, but we're going in January or February, and when it's minus 10, you're going to wish that back in July you had said something about going to Cuba. So if you're interested, please see me. I'll be contacting Gary. He's getting home from vacation, I think, later this week, and we'll be trying to set a date for that trip. Now, family news, the psalmist says, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints." And this past Wednesday evening, Marge Burden went to be with the Lord. Hopefully you heard about that through the church email or you got a phone call. But some of the details, the visitation will be tomorrow at Lynch's here in Walled Lake from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and evening at Lynch's again. And then Tuesday morning, there'll be a visitation at 10 o'clock here at the church, and the funeral will be here at the church on Tuesday morning. Then the interment over at Wixom Cemetery, and then coming back here for a meal. So if you could, please make sure that you see the clipboard and sign up for them, either to help set up, clean up on Tuesday, or if you can help provide the meal, then please sign up for that. Renee made a list, and we have all of that for you if you can help us out. Mark Putty's dad had a heart attack and was in the hospital, Providence Park, last week. I didn't get that word until after church on Sunday morning, but he was in intensive care at Providence Park, and then has since been moved to a rehab. Pray for George Putty, please. And I think Dorothy's here with us, right? Yes, Dorothy's here. Good to have you here with us, with Mark and Sue. Kurt Largent had surgery yesterday on wrist and elbow. Pray for Kurt, and he's here. We have a couple kids up at Camp Barrichel this week. They're coming home on Tuesday. You can pray for them. Our Costa Rica team, they're ministering this morning, I believe. Hopefully you've been following on Facebook the different things that they've been involved in. And in that group of 18 from Lakes are our two drummers. Yeah. So that's why we don't have drums this morning, but pray for them. And then some sports news. Bailey Price is on the 9U softball team here locally, and her team won the state championship last weekend. So congratulations to Bailey. And so Bailey, if you know Bailey, she's like about 3 foot nothing and probably weighs 17 pounds, I don't know. And she's got a ring that's got to weigh 11 pounds. So you have to make sure you catch Bailey and see that ring. And then Makara Midgley is on a local soccer team here, and the soccer championships have been going on, and she's on the 03 Michigan Hawks, and they played for the national championship yesterday in Virginia. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0, but congratulations to Makara and her team on that. Then Barb's taking attendance in the back, but you thought you might be able to get away with this, but I'd like to have Barb come up here, please. She's been down in Tennessee. Mark and Barb have been down in Tennessee caring for Mark's mom. And while she was gone, the last Sunday in June is Barb's anniversary here at Lakes as our church secretary. 11 years. Thank you for your faithfulness in your ministry. Let's pray. Father, we're dependent on you every day. all the time. But we pray for your grace as we grieve for Marge and our loss as a church, for her family. We pray for them, Lord, that as many of them were here in the first service, they will see Christ in us as they saw Christ in their mom. Pray for you to work in their lives, Lord. We pray for George Putty and Carol Hobbs, Kurt Largent, Elena Krieger, Rachel France, the Rossthorns, for your grace for them as they deal with various physical ailments, crises. Lord, we commit them to your care. Help us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, today we rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Christ at Union Lake Baptist Church as they send off two of their own people to be missionaries in Japan. We pray for Joel and Misty. We thank you for the way that you have prepared for them to go. And now for the church that sends them off, we remember with joy sending away David and Diane a few years ago. And we can understand the excitement of Union Lake this morning and pray for them and pray for Joel and Misty. Pray for our kids at camp that you will do a work in their lives spiritually. For our team in Costa Rica, we're delightful for the ministry that they can have there. We pray that this will change their lives. And for some of our teens who are there, who have their own spiritual issues to be working through, we pray that this exposure to the gospel on an hour-by-hour basis will speak to their own hearts about the truth. And Lord, we thank you for Barb, and we thank you for the ministry that she has, the many things that she does for us behind the scenes, and we appreciate her, we appreciate her ministry, and we pray for your blessing on her. We commit all of these things to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, by now you have found 1 Corinthians 15. I invite you to stand with me, please. I'd like to read just the first couple verses of chapter 15. You can follow along as I read. Paul's writing to this church in Corinth and says to them, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel." Reminding us of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. We love the gospel. It has lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. The gospel also sanctifies us, is changing us into the image of Jesus Christ, and the gospel gives us hope, hope of eternal life. We saw this repeatedly throughout 1 Peter. So the gospel saves us, sanctifies us, and gives us hope. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to talk about the gospel, to talk about the gospel in our lives, to talk about the gospel in Marge's life. Father, we pray that you will help us to see the gospel today, the power of the gospel. Convince us of this great truth. Draw sinners to yourself. May Jesus Christ be clearly seen. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. After reminding us of the gospel in these first couple verses, what happens next in verse 5 is Paul shares some of the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is presented as a real event. And then we're told about witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, which makes it a historical fact. Look down, and we're going to be looking at all of 1 Corinthians 15, and I don't know about your Bible, but 1 Corinthians 15 is on three different pages in my Bible. So skip down to verse 12 and look at those verses. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay, this historical fact, this reality that Paul has presented, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. What a dreadful thought. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Now these verses reveal two more things about the resurrection. First, faith or belief in the resurrection is required for salvation. And secondly, some people do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead or the resurrection of anyone from the dead, Christ followers who will be raised from the dead as well. Look at verse 19. If in Christ we have hope, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Wednesday night, I was sitting in my recliner watching the news. My phone rang. It was 10:23, and my first thought was, this is not good. I looked at the screen of my phone. It said Dewey Burden, this Marge's youngest son, and Dewey and five of his siblings were here in the first service, and a couple of their spouses were here as well. But I looked at my phone, and it was Dewey Burden, and I thought, Dewey's calling to tell me that they've taken his mom to the hospital. The news was better than that. He told me that his mom had died. She'd gone to be with the Lord. 30 minutes later, Daryl and I walked into Marge's room over at Meadow Lodge in Milford, and none of the kids were there yet. When I walked into Marge's room and I saw her body, I immediately thought of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Find verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. I know the theology. Verse 51, Marge is what Paul calls here a sleeper. Because Marge died before the Lord's return. She was getting ready for bed. There are two people who were helping her. She said, "I don't feel well." They tried to ask her what was wrong. You know, because of the strokes, she has a hard time communicating. She couldn't communicate. So one of the gals went to get the nurse. The other girl started taking vitals. Marge convulsed. And she saw Jesus. She didn't die in her sleep, but she's a sleeper. So was Donna Pullison. A sleeper is someone, a Christian, a Christ follower, whose life here on earth has come to the end prior to the Lord returning for his children at the rapture. Most of you don't know Shirley Demaray. She was my first funeral here at Lakes. Few of you knew Kevin Irwin. When Ann and I came to Lakes, Kevin was our song leader, a young guy in his 30s, maybe his late 20s. Kevin contracted cancer in his 30s and died a couple years later. Gwen Ogg, Tom, and Charlotte Lipke, who were the result of a soccer contact and first were introduced to Lakes by the Vanderklocks. There are babies too. Samuel McDermott and Oak Happy. Senior saints like Rhoda, Bob Lee, John Hawkins, Naomi Schneider. The list keeps getting longer and I haven't named everybody. In 1 Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica were brand new converts. Paul had told them while he was there that the Lord was going to return for them as Christ followers. But in that short period of time between when Paul was there preaching the gospel for the first time and a couple weeks later when Paul wrote the letter, some people in the church had died. And they were concerned because church members had died and the Lord hadn't returned, and they were concerned what was going to happen to these people. And Paul said the same thing to them in 1 Thessalonians that he says to the Corinthians. Some of us are going to go to sleep in Jesus. You may not die in your sleep, but you're going to die before the Lord returns. And if that happens, you're a sleeper. And that's what happened to Marge. She died before the Lord's return. Look at verse 53. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then it shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? When Dewey told me that his mom had died, it stung. I told Ann, it stung. I saw the sting of death as six of Marge's children came into her room Wednesday night. The look on their face, the tears in their eye, the emotion in their throat. There is a sting to death. We die because of Genesis chapter 3. The fact is that all of us are sinners, and the Bible makes this clear. We don't like to hear it. We don't certainly want to talk about it. But the Bible is clear that just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We don't want to talk about sin, and we especially don't want to talk about Marge as a sinner, but she was a sinner, and she knew that. She realized that. But the great news in verse 53 and verse 54, when I walked into Marge's room on Wednesday night and looked at Marge, it was very interesting to me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or what it is, but I walked into Marge's room and I thought, that's not Marge. I thought the exact same thing when I walked into the emergency room and they were working on Donna Pullison, and I looked at Donna and I thought, that's not Donna. Because this mortal body had put on immortality. This perishable body that will be laid to rest on Tuesday has put on the imperishable. And that's what I thought of on Wednesday night. This isn't Marge. She's gone. But yet there is this sting. Now, some of you only know Marge as the woman in the wheelchair who demanded a hug. And she didn't care if you were a visitor or not. I saw her hug visitors, and they didn't have a choice. Her son Don calls Marge, his mom, a golden retriever. She can't wait to rub up against your leg and lick your face. We'll miss those hugs. When Ann and I first came to Lakes in 1993, think about this. When Ann and I came to Lakes in 1993, Marge was 65. Marge and Carol Hobbs sat in the nursery during Sunday school. And they took care of my sons Joshua and Stephen. Marge was a charter member at Lakes. And out in the lobby, across from the drinking fountain, if you look at the side wall, we have there our covenant, when the church was started back in 1988. And if you look down, I can't remember if it's the second row or the third, I think it's the third row, about halfway down, Marge signed her name. She was a charter member here at Lakes. She served the Lord faithfully. She served the Lord gladly. She gave generously. Some of you don't know, when she was having strokes and having to move out of her house and into assisted living, when assets were being liquidated and so forth, she wanted to give a gift to the church. And so she donated money, and the cross that's out by the sign by the road and the landscaping around the cross, Marge donated the money for that. But she was generous, not just with money. She didn't have much, and that's fine. But she was generous with her time. She was generous with her love. She testified boldly. She told me about her husband. He was not saved. And yet she invited me over because she wanted me to witness to Emerson. Now, I told you Marge was 65 when we came here, and there were some health things and whatever, and Emerson slept on the couch. And didn't matter what time of day I went over to Marge's house, Emerson was on the couch in his underwear, and he knew I was coming, and he would sit there and chain smoke and just give me a hard time. And so I learned quickly that when I went over to witness to Emerson, I would just sit, let him blow smoke in my face, chat for a while. And then Marge, who is sitting at the kitchen table, the couch is over here in the kitchen table, and some of you know where she lived. After a while of visiting with Emerson, I would turn around, and Emerson would sit there, and I would tell Marge the gospel. and she'd ask me questions that she knew the answers to. And Emerson would listen. Emerson would eventually get up and go get dressed and leave. But if he was still there when I was going to leave, Marge insisted that we hold hands and pray. And that was a Marge trademark. When Emerson got sick and was in the hospital at Huron Valley, he was there, I don't remember how long, but when the end was imminent, the whole family was up there. Marge has 8 kids, and I said, 117 grandkids, and her kids this morning said, that's about right. I don't know, there's a gazillion of them. The waiting room up by intensive care at Huron Valley, if you've ever been in there, was packed. You couldn't move. I wasn't in there a whole lot. I was in the room. And you know the little sign by intensive care says 2 visitors at a time, limited to 15 minutes. And they were bringing in Marge's family 10 or 15 at a time. And Marge would elbow me, tell them. And I'd tell them the gospel. And then she'd make all of us hold hands and pray. And they'd leave, say their goodbyes, and the next group would shuffle in. I don't remember, 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, he'd stop breathing, everybody'd look, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, whatever, and he'd start breathing. And this went on for hours. Finally, 2 or 3 in the morning, everybody went home. It was surprised me, honestly. Everybody went home. So I went home. I slept for a couple hours. I went up to the hospital in the morning. I'd been up at intensive care back in those days with several people from the church, and some of the nurses knew me. But I walked into intensive care that morning, and all the staff was busy doing whatever they were doing, and I stepped into intensive care, and I looked to my left where Emerson's room was. I could see the end of his bed, and there were no feet. And I bowed my head, and I thought, he died, and they've already taken his body. So I walked over to the room and I stepped in the door, and Emerson is sitting on the bed and yells at me, where's my breakfast? And he kept yelling. I was shocked. And he's yelling for his breakfast. I turned around, the nurse says, we didn't think he was going to live. We didn't order him a tray. I said, well, have you ordered him a tray? We're working on it. I turned around to Emerson. I'm hungry. Well, he hadn't eaten for a couple days. He was in a coma. And now he wants to eat. And I'm thinking, this is incredible. And I'm thinking, Lord, you spared his life. Well, he went into a facility in Farmington. And it was about 10 days or 2 weeks after that event in the hospital, Emerson got saved. The testimony of a godly wife. Faithful testimony Marge had with her husband. And praise the Lord, Emerson was saved before he died. Wednesday night, Marge's bed, her children gathered around, and Daryl and I. And Dewey was sitting in a chair directly across from his mom's bed, and I was standing next to him. Dewey heard the gospel at Donna Pullison's funeral. Marge couldn't come to the funeral, so she made some of her kids come. Dewey was here. He talked to me at the meal. I shared the gospel with them. I gave them a Bible, told them to read the Gospel of John. We texted, we called, and then I kept saying, Dewey, I'd like to get together. I'd like to sit down and talk to you. And finally, 2 weeks ago, we met at Marge's in Milford, and she had to go to PT, and so Dewey and I sat and talked, and I went through the whole gospel with them again, and I said, so Dewey, would you like to pray, confess Jesus Christ as Lord? And he said, do I have to do it twice? I said, no. He said, because I prayed with my mom about a week ago. So Wednesday night, Dewey says to me, sitting next to me, says, I think the Lord kept my mom around until I got saved. Everyone was fair game for the gospel. Hold hands and pray. I said Marge was a charter member, and she was, but she was also a character member. She had a great sense of humor, and unfortunately, most of you didn't know that. She, along with her sister Dorothy, when Dorothy's husband died, they lived up north. When Dorothy's husband died, Dorothy came down here to live. And Marge and Dorothy's maiden name was Savage, so I called them the Savage Sisters, and they got a chuckle out of that. But Marge had a great sense of humor, and I called her a hoot. And a couple of her girls took Marge to Hawaii years ago, and I told Marge I wanted a picture of her doing the hula dance. And so I got this card from Marge. They went at Christmas time, and there's two dancing hula girls with a dancing Santa hula. And Marge took a picture, cut out her face, and put it over one of the hula girls. And when Marge would introduce me, she always introduced me as Pastor McGee, which was the polite thing to do. But when Marge would introduce me as Pastor McGee, then I would stick up my hand to the person and say, hi, I'm Don McGee. And she'd say, your name's not Don. It's Pastor. And whenever I said Don McGee, whenever she heard me, she always corrected me, your name's not Don, it's Pastor. Look at verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory is twofold. Ultimately, it's about eternal life with Jesus Christ. So look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And do you have this testimony of grace? This is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. This is the victory that comes through God's grace. And our testimony as Christ followers is that we not only have the promise of eternity, but we have victory in this life. Marge had a hard life. Poverty, homeless for a time. Marge's wealth was not in a bank. Marge's wealth was in Jesus Christ. During the time that I knew Marge, She had breast cancer twice. She had a heart attack. She had multiple strokes. And it was those strokes that took away her speech. The past few years have been very difficult for Marge. She was sad that the people she knew and loved were dying and being taken away from her, and she was frustrated that she couldn't communicate. Marge loved to talk. She loved to talk. And coming to church was hard for her because she didn't just want to hug us. She wanted to visit with us. I forgot about this till just now. She'd pull out her church directory and she'd point at people, which meant she wanted me to tell them how they were doing. And so she'd flip through the church directory and she knew who'd been sick or who was away at college or, you know, whatever. And in the lobby, give her a hug and she'd grab my hand and then she'd point at somebody. Usually here it was a visitor. She'd point at a visitor and she'd want to know who they were. She wanted me to tell her who they were and tell her a little bit about them. She couldn't talk. And you know, those of you who tried to communicate with her, it was hard. You could figure out a lot of times what she was saying. She got her pronouns. The stroke did something about pronouns. Women were hims and the men were hers. And you just had to know that when you talked to her, that the pronouns were backwards. But she get frustrated. She told me on multiple occasions she was going to stop coming because it was too frustrating to be here and not be able to talk with anybody. I said, Marge, you have to come. We need your hugs. We need to see you being faithful. And Don needs to be here. A lot of you don't know the people in this picture, but Barb found a number of pictures of Marge this week. On the left is Gladys Dooley, who probably for the last 4 or 5 years of her life wasn't able to come to church. It just wasn't possible. Next to her is Naomi Schneider, John's mom. Of course, Marge, and then Rhoda Gilhood. And this is just one picture, but godly women who loved the Lord, who faithfully prayed for us even when they couldn't come to church anymore. And this is our heritage. The sermon today is not about Marge. The sermon today is about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And who he is and what he's done in these ladies' lives, in our lives. But Lakes, this is who we are. We are the redeemed. And Jesus Christ has made a difference in our life. Jesus Christ has made a difference in who we are and what we do. Jesus Christ has made a difference in us in how we treat one another. So what do we do now? Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord is coming again. And so some of the people in Thessalonica thought, since the Lord is coming again, they could just sit back and do nothing. And Paul said, no, you can't. You can't do that. Matter of fact, If anybody is sitting back, doing nothing, waiting for the Lord's return, you need to rebuke them. I stopped by Carol Hobbs on Thursday to tell her that Marge had died. Carol took my hand. You know I pray for you. I pray for all the elders. I pray for the church. You don't get to sit back and do nothing. But when all you can do is sit back, you pray. Gladys on the left, whenever I went to her house, she'd give me a bag of candy for the candy basket. Her daughter would go to the grocery store. Gladys would make out a list, and there was a bag of candy on there for me to put in the candy basket. She'd have a jar of change. She'd give it to me. Use this for something. We don't get to sit back and do nothing, but when all you can do is sit back, there's still something to do. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10, just a few pages forward in your Bible. It's page number 946. Page number 946. This isn't about Marge. This is all about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. We have done this from time to time, and there's multiple reasons for this. Let me just kind of summarize it a little bit. People we know and love are taken away from us, and all of us have experienced death, the death of a loved one or the death of someone here at church. We all know this thing of death. And we need to be reminded of death. But death is also an interesting time to tell people about eternal life. And we need to do that. Years ago, anniversary Sunday, a family early in the year found out they were pregnant. As things progressed, they found out that their unborn child had a rare abnormality and would not survive till birth. As more time went by and doctors and family members were encouraging them to abort the baby, they decided against abortion, but they were told, well, the baby may survive full term, but probably won't survive birth. And then they were told, he may survive birth, but he won't live long. And he didn't. Samuel lived 23 minutes. And then, I don't know what time, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, it was anniversary Sunday, a day of celebration for our church. But at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning up at St. Joe in Pontiac, we had a funeral. I went home and tried to sleep for a couple hours and then come to church for anniversary Sunday. And the message that I had planned was set aside, and we talked about life, death, and eternal life, because that's what Lakes is all about. I was planning on preaching Psalm 17 today until Wednesday night, about 11 o'clock. A number of years ago, a guy by the name of Jay Petrie died suddenly. Had a huge impact on the church. I don't know that we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, but we looked at life, death, and eternal life, because that's what the church is all about. And here we are today. And there are a couple of reasons for this today, but suffice it to say, there are times in our church history when we stop and look at people we've known and loved, cared for, and they're taken away from us, and it's a sober reminder that we don't live here forever. Nobody does. And we better be prepared. Marge shared the gospel with her family. And times that I was with any of them, and there were times that I was with the Burden family in hospitals and other family events. They adopted me at some point. I'm not sure when. I think it was when their dad was in the hospital. But Marge would infamously say to me, "Tell him." She shared the gospel with them, and she knew that they tolerated mom or tolerated grandma, and so she would just say to me, "Tell them." Well, I told them this morning at 9 o'clock. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're not a Christian because we say we're a Christian. We're not a Christian because somebody tells us we're a Christian. And you know my illustration. You can say you're a car and you can sleep in the garage, but that doesn't make you a car. And you can say you're a Christian, and you can come to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You're a Christian because you come to believe that Jesus Christ is God, and the proof that he is God is his resurrection from the dead. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you get saved. You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but that doesn't make you one. Only God can make you a Christian. It's called a new birth, a spiritual birth. And verse 10 says, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." And praise the Lord for this great truth, and praise the Lord for the faithful testimony of a mom to her son, and for Dewey to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So Lakes, Marge has been taken away from us, and there will be more. And really, I rejoice with her. I know the sting of death. I know the sting in my own life over Marge's death. There's great joy to know that that mortal body, that perishable body, has put on immortality, and it's through Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? I make the same offer I did at Donna's funeral that Dewey responded to. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to sit down and talk to you face to face. I would love to talk to you on the phone, whenever, however. I'd love for that to happen. There's nothing miraculous about telling or talking to me. You can talk to anybody. You can talk to nobody. You can look at the Word of God. It tells you how to be saved, because verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And praise the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the good gift of Marge Burden. Thank you for her faithfulness to you, her love for you, her passion to share the gospel and see people saved, her faithfulness in giving herself to us. We thank you for her memory. We cherish her life, and we're grateful that she's in your presence. And now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Amen. God bless you.